The start order is 1-7-4-2-3-9-8-5.
The Extra Lap RC Podcast.
Yes, this is the Extra Lap RC Podcast. My name's Aidan Burke, and as always, I'm joined by my best mate, Martin Owen. How you doing, Martin?
I'm very well, yourself?
Mate, I'm awesome. You know, I'm looking forward to an hour of talking about Southport.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I'll put some alcohol in this Pepsi and go to sleep.
Yeah, that's it, mate. We'll just talk about the sun and the ice cream and the beach and all of those things. All the great things that go on in Southport. But we should probably carry on our great record of speaking to guys who won the Zoom series. So, Martin, who are we going to speak to tonight?
Well, we have four-wheel drive winner and all-around European legend, Michael Orlowski.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm recovered after the weekend at the sunny Southport, so yeah, all good.
It was sunny at the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I was really surprised how nice the weather was on Sunday after how it looked on Friday and Saturday, but yeah, Sunday was really nice.
Yeah, I know how four-wheel drive people like it, nice and grippy on four-wheel drive days, so save all the good weather for then. Well, I'm not gonna, let's get straight into it. For anybody else who, I don't know why you listen to this and don't know this information, that last weekend was the Zoom Series Round 4 at clearly the best track in the UK, clearly the best event we've had this year, always sunny Southport. And Michael, you've probably not been in the UK since, like, just before Christmas, have you?
Yeah, and this was my first time in the UK since October last year.
Wow.
So, it's been a long time.
Okay. Now, I think the rules changed regarding travel and all those a couple of days before. Were you really excited to get over?
Yeah. The rules changed, I think maybe a week or slightly more than that before the event.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Schumacher were looking at me going to all the Zoom meetings from the first round, but unfortunately the travel restrictions didn't allow me and Jorn to come. But finally, UK opened up a bit for people that are vaccinated. So I had to only make two tests, one before coming and the second one on the day two in the UK, and I was able to fly over. So that was really good to see the whole team, all the UK drivers. It's always really nice to race in the UK and meet all the people here. So yeah, I was really happy that I was able to come, and I had a great time.
Yeah. So I think did you arrive on, or whenever you arrived, you didn't get to Southport until late on sort of Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
What were you doing on Friday morning?
Yeah, I arrived on Friday morning at Birmingham, and Mas picked me up, and we went to Kidderminster for a few runs with Ben Pugh to just have a go at a UK AstroTurf track. And then I had maybe five or six runs there. It was kind of wet, but it was drying up in a few places, so the conditions were really difficult on the track. And then I did maybe like five or six runs, and then we drove up to Southport.
Hey, Martin, you know how quick Ben Pugh is around Kidderminster.
Yeah, he's certainly knows his way around that track.
Yeah, he was faster than me.
Yeah, well, yeah, but if you gave it a day of practicing, I'm sure by the end of the day, he wouldn't be a lot faster than you, if faster.
Yeah, probably, but he was driving really well around that track.
He does. I mean, he's quick, very quick everywhere, but he's mega quick around that track.
Yeah. So you get to is Southport the nicest RC track you've ever seen? I'm just by the cut-off button here, so we can edit your answer any way you want.
To be honest, it's a really, really good track. It's the size is really, really good. The only thing I'm not the biggest fan of is the concrete curbs,
yes,
the all white curbs. I think they're slightly too big.
Yes,
and,
they are.
And maybe unnecessary, because you will always have the same kind of corners, where if you had just pipes around the track, you could change the whole layout. But yeah, it seems like many UK tracks have this kind of curbs. But the track was really nice. Both layouts were a lot of fun to drive. The famous back section was very interesting. Many people told me different ways of going through there on Friday, and then I found my way of doing it on Saturday and Sunday. So yeah, I had a really good time over there.
Brilliant. So we wake up on, I think it rained Friday night, and then we will wake up Saturday. I think it was slightly spitting, I think, when we all got to the track, and then it just sort of rained constantly. It was nice, light rain. People were wearing shorts, but it did rain all day through two-wheel drive. How did you feel that went? So sort of like your first in a long time, big UK Astro meeting.
To be honest, I was really surprised because my pace in the two drive was really good straight out of the gate. I thought I would be like a second of the pace. But I think in the first practice, I was actually one of the quickest guys on the fastest lap. I think the weather helped me slightly. I think in the wet conditions, the local knowledge of the back section and generally the track had slightly less advantage than in the dry.
Yeah.
So my car was like dialed. It had enough grip, it had enough steering. The setup I started with was very similar to the setup I used at Arena 33 from EOS when it was wet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I didn't change a single thing in the car into the two drive. And I just tried to make a clean run. But we had just only two rounds of 4 minute practice. And I was still making a few mistakes, and then qualifying started, and still my pace was really strong. I was leading my heat at the beginning of the runs, and I was going for a really good 5 minute run. But always I would end up making one small mistake, which would cost me a few seconds, and it was really close. So it mean I would drop back to like fifth or sixth, and then I lined up seventh on the grid in the two drive, and I just wasn't able to make any moves in the finals because in the wet there was just one racing line around the track. So I was able to make a few, but either a small mistake by me or just some bad luck. So yeah, it was very frustrating actually, because I had the pace, I'm sure, to fight for the win, just didn't have the consistency and some luck.
And
in the two-drive portion.
Yeah, and all of our, all of Southport's quick people are, Paul Crompton, the Holdsworths. Craggy doesn't practice at Southport, but has driven around the same track for the last 20-odd years. You talk about our concrete corners, our apexes. They've not moved in 20 years. We might have reshaped them, but they haven't moved. And a few of them were a bit harsh, but we intentionally didn't change them because we had a big event coming. Because we wanted all our home advantage. So, but as you say, you don't get much home advantage in the wet. So, So you were quite happy then with two-wheel drive, because the talk of the pits were, well, Michael's only made it seventh. It was only seventh in the A. were you confident and just feel like the next day, if you just eliminated a few of those mistakes, you'd be right to the top?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I was happy with my pace. I was very, very happy with my pace. It was just so frustrating that I wasn't able to put a clean 5-minute run in. Jorn was also struggling a bit to make a clean run, but also my pace was slightly better than him, which yeah, I was quite happy about it as well, because Jorn is super strong on AstroTurf generally. Mm-hmm. So whenever I'm able to beat him, I'm really happy. So yeah, I was happy. I was just so frustrated that I couldn't make a clean 5-minute run. But then we were confident on that tomorrow the next day on Sunday in Four Drive, we'll have more knowledge of the track and it will be just generally easier for us. And it was like that. So the Tour Drive day was kind of like a practice day for me and Jorn. And then on Four Drive, I think we showed our true pace we had that weekend. So it's just a shame that I wasn't able to do the same in the Tour Drive, but you know, it is what it is. I'm not humiliated because of the 7th or 8th place in the A-Main. I think it was a really difficult day for any driver coming to that track for the first time. So I was quite happy about it anyway.
Yeah, I think we were in our tent, and our tent, we probably spent a bit more time drinking on the Saturday than actually racing. It's definitely our party day. We were sitting there at some point. We were sitting there thinking, well, it's really good that they've not just come, when we say they, I mean you and yours, haven't just come over and smashed everyone on day one. That sort of give the Brits a bit of respect there. But what was the feeling like, sort of like in the hotel on Saturday night? Were both you, Jorn, and Trish quite confident going into four-wheel drive? Because you thought, all right, that was tough, but we've learned a lot.
Yeah, we had a nice dinner. Robin was there, and we had our first dinner with Robin Maas for over a year, so it was really nice. And you know, there's no bad mood in the team. We knew it will be difficult on the first day with only 2 rounds of 4-minute practice. I was happy with my pace. And we just thought of this day as practice for Sunday. So it wasn't like we're really upset with how the day went. I think the UK racing scene is extremely strong. Probably it's the most competitive country in Europe when it comes to the nationals. And there are many fast local drivers at certain tracks, and the tracks are extremely unique compared to the other tracks in Europe. So I think there's no shame in such a result. And Sunday was much better, obviously, for me and Jorn.
Yeah, because I think Sunday we did our first two practices, I think I did on silvers in four-wheel drive.
Yeah, yeah.
But from then on, it was dry. And as it got drier, to be honest, my home advantage just fell off a cliff, because everybody else got quicker. But everyone else seemed to enjoy the day. We were shorts, we were T-shirts, the ice cream came. Everything seemed to go well. What was your views of four-wheel drive day?
Yeah, four-wheel drive started off well. I was in the B heat, and the track was wet in the morning. I put my wet setup from Arena 33 with a few tweaks to it, because I saw how the cars reacted in the first few hits of the first round of practice, and in my heat I was much quicker than anyone else. I was feeling really confident, and then Paul Crompton showed some amazing pace with his car. So then I don't think I made any changes to the car. I just tried to learn the track, and then some areas of the track started to dry up, so it was really difficult to make a decision before the run on what tires to run and what setup to go with. So for the first round of, I think Paul was slightly quicker than me in the full wet conditions in the first round. Then in the second round, I was slightly quicker than him. And then in Q1, I went on silvers and full wet setup in my car. And in some areas, the car was okay. In some areas, it was extremely difficult. So I made a few errors. And then the next heat came out. And the problem for me was that the track was drying with each minute. So basically, each round until the track was fully dry, the next heat had an advantage, a slight advantage over me.
Yeah.
With those extra few minutes of sun on the track. So I would lose out to Paul in the first three rounds of qualifying, but he was clearly faster than me once the track was dry, but the straight was still wet.
Yes.
But to be honest, I was quite happy because, again, almost every round I was doing a small mistake there or slight error, which would put me back a few seconds, but I was still getting seconds in the rounds and not five or six, like in tour drive. So that was really good, but I knew I had to drive clean in the finals, so I didn't make any changes to the car. But then before the last round of qualifying, when the track was already, I think, fully dry, we saw the tire setup that I think Luke Holdsworth was running. He used a Cactus Fusion in the two in the front, or maybe the Cat Stagger, the white Stagger, and the Mezzos in the rear, where we're running darts in front and rear with some cut pins on the front tire and glue on the sidewall.
Yeah.
So for the last qualifier, we tried the Cactus Visions 2 in the front and the Mezzos on the rear. And that was really good to drive. The car had slightly less steering, but still tons of corner speed. It was much safer to drive than on darts. And the Mezzos on the rear gave better bump handling. So this gave me a slight advantage, I think, over Paul for the finals. Because in the first three rounds, I was always behind Paul on pace. But in the last one, I felt like I had more pace than him, but I still had a few mistakes. So even though I was second and Paul won all four qualifiers, I was feeling very confident for the finals.
Yeah, and then I think the finals lined up as Paul, then you, then Jorn as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So as we're watching the four-wheel drive finals, which is probably the only bit of the sort of the other people's racing that I watched, it looked as if you and Jorn looked quite comfortable at that point. It certainly looked like that's where you were the happiest you'd been all weekend. And I don't know, did it looked like you were just gonna follow him around and maybe wait for a mistake?
Yeah, with the tire setup I tried in Q4, Jorn did the same for Q4, and it felt really good to both of us. So we stayed with the same tires and the same set of tires for all three finals. And I was feeling very good. When we started the A1, I was just following Paul around. I think he was a bit nervous at the beginning, so he didn't drive really quickly. So I was able to follow him around, and I was just trying to wait for a mistake. But then we went through the back section where he made a slight error just before it, so I was really close to him. And we're doing two different lines for the back section, so unfortunately I clipped his rear wheel. I think going into the back section on the first bump, which made him tumble, and I waited for him, and he dropped down to second, and I dropped to, I think, fifth or something like that. So
yeah,
that was really unfortunate. There's not much I could do because we're going really fast for that section. We're really close, and we just had two different lines. So that was unfortunate. And then Jorn was able to win that one. But still for A2 and A3, I was really happy with my car. It felt amazing. I had tons of corner speed, tons of steering, just confidence in the car. I just knew I have to wait for Paul's mistake. And I had to be a bit more careful not to hit him again.
Yeah. which is, I think that's what happened. Another small error. Well, in fact, was leg two the one I think he spun round in front of you? And then you both...
That was A3. That was in A3.
Oh, it was A3.
Yeah, in A2, Paul made a mistake on the top left corner. He traction rolled, and then I had a really nice battle with Jorn. I made a small error through the back section, and he made a pass on me. And then a few laps later, I made a pass on him on the same corner, literally. And then when he was trying to pass me again, he made a few more errors. So that was a really nice race with Jorn.
Yeah, it was good to watch. It was good to watch all the finals. It was, I thought, you know, again, Schumacher did a great job. They brought all the banners, they brought the flags, there were people out watching. You know, I'm sure you noticed that Southport's just in a public park. So there's people wandering past, people with dogs.
I was really like surprised or kind of confused. Because on Friday I had no idea we're like inside a public park, and then Saturday and Sunday there are just people like running on that tarmac road next to the driver's stand and walking their dogs. I was really confused what's going on here, but then I realized we're just in a public park.
Yes, yeah. So we do, and it's also in the middle of town. You know, it's not stuck out in the middle of anywhere. We're quite close. So quite straightforward then, you know. I suppose we should say that Neil wrapped up, Neil Craig run two-wheel drive at Southport. I think that was actually probably the most popular win over the weekend. And then for you taking legs two and three and four-wheel drive, you took four-wheel drive. So, you know, and then I think the podium in four-wheel drive was you, Jorn, and Josh.
I was really impressed with Josh from fifth to third, and if me and Jorn weren't there, then he would have won. So that was really, really good driving from him in the finals.
Yeah, he did get a bit of a telling off from me and Mark Anthony Jones, because I think in A3 or four-wheel drive, he didn't need to go past Paul Crompton to get third.
And he got him on the last corner quite aggressively, I think.
And if you look carefully, just as he passes him, you can just see me and Mark Anthony Jones in the background with our hands in our heads, you know, screaming at Josh. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. Just leave it. You'll be fine.
But he's a racer, isn't he?
He is.
It's in the blood. So the L1 Evo was the car to have on Sunday then.
It looked like it did.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. I mean, all the sim rounds, the Evos looked very, very good. Is there anything different you tried setup-wise on the car to what you'd usually use on High Grip or Southport Astro?
To be honest, after Q1, when the track was half dry, half wet, I went back to the pits and just started wrenching on my car to change everything to my dry setup from Arena 33, which it took me some time, and I was ready just in time for the next run. So comparing it to my EOS setup from Arena 33, I just had one toe-in in the rear instead of 0.5, and I had one hole more suit up front shocks, and one more change. I don't remember exactly, but one more change from my setup from my 33. So it was pretty much my standard setup from on the High Grip Asha turf. It was a different tire set, so. At EOS, I use the darts front and rear, and here I use the Fusions 2 and Mesos in the rear. But to be honest, it was just a standard Astro High Grip setup for me, and it worked flawlessly for me.
Right.
Did you make any changes to your electronics? You know, in the weeks beforehand, we've been, you know, because Southport Street is quite long.
Yeah.
I would be telling people, I can't help people on setup. I'd just go, just turn your turbo up. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I turned up my my boost and timing for that straight because at the EOS, the straight was much, much shorter. Mm-hmm. So I used a 5.50 in my four wheel. Mm-hmm. But I used no boost at EOS, so in blinky mode. But here I put some boost timing into it, so I have more power on the straight.
Tommy will be really happy. He's a big believer in all the turbo at Southport. And your two-wheel drive, was that similar? Just a bit more boost and turbo?
Two-wheel drive.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was wet, so I actually didn't increase any anything. I made it slightly smoother on the bottom end. So it was my standard wet electronic setup.
And then one of the great surprises for me was that your dad turned up.
Yeah, he had a very long drive from Poland.
Yeah, so it's like this. I thought Polish plate car. Then there's actually quite a few. There's quite a few Polish people in Southport. It's quite Polish. And then I thought that can't be Michael's dad. He's not driven all the way.
Yeah, he's driven all the way from Warsaw to the always sunny Southport.
Wow! And Martin wouldn't drive all the way from Mendip to come and see you.
I know. I felt so bad now.
Oh, dear.
I'll drive to Robin Hood and see him. Anyway, whenever I see Michael,
he won't be there.
No, but you'll be there.
Yeah, I'll be there.
So yeah, whenever I see Michael, all I get is I leave my workspace and come back, and there's abusive messages written everywhere, or he throws tires at me. But the thing is, as well as you know, Aiden. Judging by the traffic that Friday, I think for me to get Southport would have taken about 12 hours.
Yeah, it was. The traffic was a bit tough for a lot of people. Wasn't for me. It took me 12 minutes.
See, Robin Hood's good because it's after the kids are back at school.
Oh,
so it should be a little bit nicer.
So Michael, you've said that you're going to Robin Hood, but there's two events in Robin Hood in September. One at the beginning, the Robin Hood Grand Prix, and then the Zoom final round then. Are you going to both of those?
Yeah, I'm doing both.
Oh, wow. Brilliant.
I'm looking forward to it. I really like the track at Robin Hood. I've always been quite fast there. Last time I raced there was in 2019 at Opel race, and I was able to beat Neil in both two-wheel and four-wheel drive. So I'm looking forward to those two weekends. Hopefully it can be the same like last time.
Yeah, I think so. I'll give you a bit of help. I'll have a bit more time at Robin Hood because I won't have so much things to do because it's not my home track. I can drink on Saturday and Sunday at Robin Hood. So if there's anything you need, mate, any help at all, we'll sort out anything for you. Not a problem. Number one. I'm not there for the Zoom event, but is that the one you might be able to go to, Martin?
Yeah, that's the one I think I'm going to. Providing everything goes right, I should be there.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts of, you know, we've all said lovely things about Southport. It's the best place in the world. Were you happy with your first weekend? Did that first weekend in the UK sort of make you think, well, I want to come back now. I want to come back on a more regular basis. You know, might we see you at a workshop event in the winter or something along those lines? What's your sort of plans now?
Yeah, definitely. I'll be coming to the UK as much as I can. Obviously, it all depends on the travel restrictions during the winter season. And racing in mainland Europe and also maybe hopefully USA. because if there is a lot of racing during the winter, then I guess there will be a few races clashing with the workshop series. So I would just have to make a few decisions, I guess, which is more important. But as long as there is no clash with any other major event, then I'll be at workshop, and next year I'll be doing the Zoom meetings as well. So definitely I'll be racing a lot in the UK as long as I'm able to travel there without any self-isolating or additional issues.
Yeah, craziness. Other craziness.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then one of the bits I've written down is you've got at your at the EOF, at the Arena 33 race, you had a new teammate.
Yeah, Ricky.
Ricky, pretty Ricky, turns up.
Yeah.
Did you know him from your sort of like your eighth and your other days, or?
Yeah, I have known Ricky for some time. I think I've met him a few times during the Euros, the 10-scale Euros, and then he used to come sometimes to the EOSs when he was racing for Kair Show.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I really liked him and had a few chats with him over the last few years. But I don't think I have seen him throughout the whole COVID. So it was really nice to see him, and I was really happy when I heard that he's joining our team. And we had an amazing weekend with him at the EOS. In our team, we would always use the Italian accent to like joke around and, you know, say a few things, and we finally have an Italian in our team. And Ricky's English is really good, and he has this amazing Italian accent. So yeah, we had tons of fun with him, so I'm looking forward to racing with him more. And I'm not sure if I can share this right now, but there is a chance he will be coming to one of the Robin Hood meetings.
Nice. Wow. That'd be great. Obviously, it'd be great if he came in less than 2 weeks' time to the GP, but maybe he might need to pull up with Marty at the last round of the Zoom.
Yeah.
We can teach him the ways, Michael.
Did you ever have Ricky on the podcast?
Yeah, we had him. Wasn't that long ago, I don't think so. We spoke about, we all watched,
I guess,
his Euros win.
Yeah.
We all sort of sat down, me, Martin and Joe, we all sat down and watched that race.
I think I listened to this one.
Yeah, he was really nice, really excited, really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, it was a big surprise to us Schumacher family people. You know, we weren't expecting Tom to turn up. I think the yell.
Great.
Two looks quite good. Yeah, but I think we had that picture on our Facebook page for a good few days. Of Ricky Berton's LD2, it was great. It just shows that we should actually get him back on, shouldn't we? Though I think he came third at the Arena 33 race, so I think he doesn't need much teaching.
Yeah. Maybe you should have him after his weekend racing in the UK at Robin Hood.
Yeah.
And then ask him how it was.
Yeah, how I assume he lives somewhere nice in Italy. You know, how like the Italian Riviera compares with Doncaster.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know.
You can also ask him how the Italian food in Italy compares to the food in Frankie and Benny's.
Yeah. Did you go to Frankie and Benny's this weekend?
No, we didn't. We were eating at Beefeater next to our hotel, but we're planning to go to Frankie and Benny's at the Robin Hood meetings with him. So,
there is a Frankie and Benny's in Southport, but I think your hotels were a bit further away. You were out in the sticks, weren't you?
Like 15 minutes from the track, but I don't know which way.
Yeah. You can only go one way. One way is the sea and the beach. And the other way is the fields. But it was, you know, it was really good. And, you know, all of the people I've spoken to this week, all of my members, even the people who didn't race, even the people who just turned up and watched, were just really happy. You were so happy that, you know, the support that the Schumacher family, Robin, Trish, Moz, yourself and Jorn have put into, not just obviously the entire series, but just to come to Southport, it made a great event. People would stop me, like members of the public would stop me and go, did that man just say that fella's flown in from Germany? And I'm going, yeah, that's his full-time job. He's flown from Germany to race in a park. His full-time job is to race toy cars in a park. And I'm going, yeah, kind of. We all enjoyed it. Obviously, I'll mention it now because people will turn off when you go, that, you know, it was great for Moz. I have to mention my cousin Richie, who gave up his weekend of racing just to help Moz and help us run the event. And that's probably why I had my best result ever at a Zoom event. Nothing to do with home advantage, just because Richie did everything for everybody else.
He was really good. He brought us some breakfast, lunch. It was great.
So we had to make him, Martin, you'll love this. Richie drives an Associated for two-wheel drive and a Schumacher for four.
Okay.
So, but I think he got a jumper off Tommy. So he was wandering around in his Associated jumper.
Yeah.
But I think Will said we needed to get it changed because I think obviously he was helping Michael and Jorn with their lunches and all the bits that they needed as well. So I found an old Schumacher jumper in my car and made him change his shirt.
Good.
Just, you know, Schumacher family, which obviously just made it all a bit classier.
Oh, yes.
I think he actually had to borrow a T-shirt off Trish on Sunday because we had nothing clean. But it was a great event. Everyone enjoyed themselves. It's great that you're coming back in a few weeks' time, Michael. Have you got a weekend off this weekend or are you racing somewhere else?
Yeah, this time I have a weekend off. I've been racing every weekend for a very, very long time, maybe like since the beginning of June or something like that. So I need a small break to recharge my batteries. and we'll be back and I'll have four straight weekends in a row again. So, yeah.
The Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, then the next weekend is EOS, then ETS, and then Robin Hood again.
Wow. There's a few miles there in Doncaster, you know, Germany. Because I think that Adenacht is probably close to you.
It's by car, it's 1,100 kilometers. So it's like 700 miles.
Yeah, from one end of our country to the other end of our country.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I think.
But the traffic is slightly better, and you can drive slightly quicker on the autobahn in Germany than in the UK.
Yeah. So Martin would probably still come up with an excuse, wouldn't you, Martin?
Oh yes, for sure.
Yeah. Martin.
It was amazing when me and Mas drove from Kidderminster to Southport. We're going through some, like, literally field roads that we're passing tractors on the way. I was so amazed how you can travel on such roads in the UK. Like, I can't imagine me driving to another city in Poland on such a road. It's only like going to the motorway and just going slightly longer distance, but much quicker.
Yeah, I think there was some traffic issues. I remember my friend Miklos came up to me on Saturday and said, I need to pay the toll for the bridge.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what bridge, Miklos? What bridge did you go? There's no toll bridge to go over. And he went, and then he told me the way that his sat nav had taken him. So I think there must have been issues like around Manchester and sort of that part. And so people have gone any kind of route they can to get to Southport. We're really lucky, you know, that people turned up. I always say it's 10 minutes from my house, but it's 35 minutes from a motorway. So as you're driving about, you do probably think, oh, we're here now. And then you've got 35 minutes on stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's great. One of the bits I was going to ask you, but I think you've answered that. Your setups are up. I've definitely seen Yawn set up for Southport, but I think one of the things you said that really your Arena 33 setups for Astro are probably a good place for people to start for Schumacher drivers.
At Southport. I guess I would suggest trying Yawn setups because usually my setups are a bit too aggressive for people,
mm-hmm.
and that's the feedback I've been getting so far. I always like my cars to have tons of steering because I don't like to use much steering lock.
Mm-hmm.
Where Yawn is a way more aggressive driver than me, so his car setup-wise is much easier to drive, so it can push more. Okay. Where I let the car do it than me pushing. So usually people say that my setup's too aggressive, but you know. If you like steering and you want steering, then you can try my setup, or you can dial out slightly the steering. It's always easy to get rid of steering.
Well, I think we're also we're coming into indoors now in the UK. You know, once these meetings are finished in Robin Hood, once there's the Roger Wood meeting finishes at Bury, we'll all be indoors on carpet. So actually, last week I spent my time ordering new bearings and new hinge pins and new pins for my car for when I go indoors. But I think I dug out your LD2 setup for carpet, Titan Arena, I think.
Yeah, I posted one on the website some time ago.
Yeah, so I think that's the one I'm currently working towards. So hopefully once I get all that done, if I've got any issues trying to dial out some steering, I'll drop you a message.
Yeah, I think you can already start maybe with slightly longer wheelbase in the front. I'm pretty sure on the setup I posted the front arms are flipped. So right. That's quite short wheelbase for more steering, which I found really good for me when testing. But it might be too aggressive for you, but you can try like that and then change it later or start straight away with slightly longer front wheelbase.
Yeah, I'll probably start with slightly longer and just turn around and tell everyone, well, I was going to use that, but Michael said I wasn't good enough and I should just go back to settings. You know, Martin, are you even going to be able to race on carpet this year?
Yeah, because I'm going to Silverstone.
Oh, you are, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. So I will get to race on carpet.
Oh, I think that'll be a great event. Again, you know, Michael, you'll be in demand all around the world. Hopefully, you'll be able to. Obviously, we want you to get to America. We want you to start dominating. Have any of us seen any of the coverage from the Raw Nats today?
Yeah, just before I joined you guys, I had a look, and because in the sitting round, I think is on. But yeah, the track looks tiny.
Yeah, I thought that. I thought it looked absolutely ickle.
Yeah, it's a 13-second lap time. It's madness.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like they've used a lot of space. There seems to be a lot of infield.
Yeah.
But anyway,
do well with the Schumacher car.
I think I saw one of Or Brock's first. Seemed to pace, because I think they were doing... Yeah, it confused me because they said... I didn't realise it was only like a 14-second lap. So when they said like 3 laps in 41 seconds, I'm going, "Bob, yeah, that seems quick." It's the beginning or the end of the straight. But as they come off the straight, I don't know if it drops down, but... A lot of cars seem to just bomb the pipe, and I think he had a couple of issues with that, which a few others did. But I couldn't see what the problem was, a bump on the track or something.
Concept posted on their Facebook, and the cars looked like really on edge of traction rolling.
Yeah. Definitely.
I looked at Dakota Fendt car going around the track, and it didn't look too good, in my opinion.
I'm sure they'll get it sorted. I'm sure they'll all figure it out. I think they've all been there before. It seems to be quite a popular track, and you know the Americans, they just like moaning at things. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Joey Fisher's causing trouble over stock versus mod. Raw are causing their own issues by taking pictures of post-it notes with
I saw this one.
Brilliant. I'm not being funny. I messaged Keenan and went, "I think they're just trolling you. I think they're doing that just knowing farewell what's going to happen." because I'm not being funny. That's what I'd do. So I'm looking forward to this weekend to watch the
Raw match.
Yeah, it'll be good to see it. Obviously, we hope Brock does really well. We should say Dustin Evans is not there because I think his wife's expecting their first baby very soon. So congratulations for Dustin in the meantime. Yep. I think that's what I'll be doing all weekends, I think. I'll just be sitting at home watching Americans go around a very small... Is that dirt or clay? It's like brown concrete.
It's clay, but it's covered with some glue, I think, which they use to make the clay like really slick and shiny, and so it sticks together so there's no dust.
Okay. They do lots of crazy things. That's the least crazy thing they probably do. Anyway, Michael, we'll let you go because your voices, you know, stay together for those 45 minutes. Let's not risk it anymore.
Yeah.
but before we let you go, would you like to thank anybody, your sponsors, your dad, Martin, for not turning up?
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me once again. It's always a pleasure. And thank you to all my sponsors, especially Schumacher, LP, PowerHD, and MF33, and all the rest, of course. And yeah, hopefully we can continue racing into the winter season, and hopefully the RC grows furthermore.
Yeah, that's brilliant, mate. And I'll see you in 10 days' time, maybe?
Yeah.
Won't be long. You'll recognize me. I've got a lovely new coat.
Is that a Schumacher coat?
Of course. I stole Muzz's.
The black one?
Yeah. Stole Muzz's new one.
It's lovely. It's the best coat I have ever had.
Yeah, it is. If it's warm enough for Mark Anthony Jones, it's warm enough for us. Anyway, mate. Right. It's late there. Speak to you soon. Bye now.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was great talking to Michael. Do you think I mentioned Southport enough times?
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah, I suppose always at this time it's a good part of the podcast to thank last week's guest, Tony Evdoka.
Yep.
We got a lot of feedback. A lot of people... Well, no one's really interested in stats or numbers, but what I can say is more people downloaded that episode on the first day than any of our other episodes for a good few weeks beforehand. So what that says to me, a lot of people saw that it was Tony Evdoka and wanted to listen to what he was saying, because it's the first day, no one's told them it was a good episode, have they? The only person, reasons why they've listened to it there and then is because of Tony Evdoka being on the podcast. And though we all struggled to get a word in, it was some great ideas. You know, we can't all agree on everything, but, you know, it's great to get some good opinions. And clearly, Tony's done lots of things. And who said something? I can't remember. They said, well, the thing with Tony Evdoka, you can tell he speaks with love in his heart. Okay? You know, whatever he says, there's love in his heart. There's love for RC in whatever he says.
I'm looking forward to catching up with him the weekend, I have to admit.
Yeah, you're going to dash for cash, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Do you feel like you're going to sell your soul to the devil to try and win 30 quid?
No. I'm just going to go and have a good time and have a weekend in the warm race with my mates.
Yeah, the weather looks excellent.
It does, and that's the main thing. I raced on Sunday and it was dry, and I'm going to get to race this weekend and hopefully it's dry. Well, it will be dry.
And is that, sorry, I don't think we asked Tony. So, are you racing Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, it's practice Saturday morning, some qualifying Saturday afternoon, then a bit more qualifying Sunday morning, then finals.
Brilliant. Okay. And you are not going to do any of your qualifiers, get in the bottom final and win 30 quid?
No. I mean, I can get in the bottom final without trying.
Jesus, yeah. Imagine that.
I could just go pear-shaped. I want to go and just do as well as I can, just have a good weekend. It's, again, going to see people I haven't seen for quite a while. So I'm kind of looking forward to that and just having a good time.
It looks like great. I know Torch have done some extra work. I know they put some pictures for their, you know, the track builds. They've come out with even more driver announcements.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a great way of running a meeting.
It's great. They're showing the track tomorrow, I think, with like a little bit of a track walk and stuff. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Looking forward to it, mate. Looking forward to it. But you did go racing this week. Did you go to Tiverton?
I went to Tiverton, yeah. First trek there for a while. Because obviously no more practicing for my failed Sooms A final attempt. Yeah. So,
I'll bring that up again.
Okay. Went to Tiverton, raced two-wheel drive. Yeah, it was brilliant. Well-run meeting down that. Always run a great meeting. And managed to TQ three rounds and actually win, which for me at Tiverton doesn't happen very often because it's obviously usually quite a bit lower grip than Mendip. But for some strange reason, I managed to get I think grip was maybe a little bit higher because it rained the day before and then was dry all day.
Yeah.
But the LD2 just felt, and I'm not just saying it because I drive a Schumacher, but the car, so I've driven all sorts on that car track, the car just felt great. You could put it where you wanted to put it, but it just worked. Went with a little bit less tow for the final, which loosened the rear end up a bit. So rear end was slid around a bit, but it gave you that little bit more edge of steering. So you could pretty much park it without crashing on every apex. So of course in a final, that's great because the lines there were apex to apex to apex. So the car just worked great. The one thing with the LD2, and the laydown did it too, but I noticed the LD2 is when you make a change, you really notice it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which I think is great, you know, because the pro guys, you know, they'll make a change and they notice it because they're pros and that's what they can do. But when the regular Joes like ourselves can make a change and feel it, you know, they've made it, they've done a cracking job. And, you know, I'm not just saying it because they sponsor us, they have made a very good car. So,
yeah, I think that probably makes a bit of sense from my issues for the sort of going into the last weekend Whereas I always think that if I'm going to make a change, I need to make a big change so I'll notice it. And what I've done historically over this season, like LD2 season, is I've done that and then I've just made too big of a change because the car reacts well. So, like, the end of the other week, where Josh Holdsworth, spoken about many times, told me to just take all the shims off the inner link front and rear, made the car really racy, but I just didn't like it. And then I was speaking to Evo after my first run of practice on Saturday, and I was explaining to him, and he just went, "Well, you just need to put another shim back in on your rear inner link. You just rear your car's too locked in." And I'm going, "How, you know, I've only gone from two mil to no mil."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Yeah, just put the one back in." And it was just better all day. And I still think I kind of understand that. You said it now. Other people have said it. That rather than me taking 2 mil a shim out, 3 mil a shim out everywhere I go, I just take one now and see if that makes
see how it feels.
Yeah, yeah. So did you sort your setup for Tiverton out, or did you use anyone else as a base?
I used Ben Smith's setup for Mendip as a base.
Right.
And yeah, it worked great. It was cracking. So it was really nice.
Perfect warm up for your dash for cash.
Yeah, it was a little bit of confidence and a little bit of fun, and yeah, just going to the dash for cash and see if I can dash to crash. That'll probably be more like it. Yeah.
You can just crash and crash.
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that quite easily.
With no dashing and no cashing.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it'll be nice and it'll be a good weekend.
Or what you'll probably do, sorry, this is a bad joke, and I'll only make it for you now, is that you'll probably win, get 30 quid, and then blow your speed up on the way home.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Oh, I've won £30. Oh, hang on. Just going to buy another one of them. That's fine. Carry on.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Well, that's great, mate. I very quickly going to just run through.
Oh, yeah, you had a little race this weekend, didn't you? It was your turn to have home track advantage at your home track.
Yeah, I'm just dominated, mate.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
Well, yeah, I think I know how difficult Southport is. I know how difficult it is for people to come who haven't been to Southport before. Oh, when I say difficult, to get clean runs in quickly. You know, you can see in some of the finals, you know, Michael mentioned it. I think you can see in some of Craggy's finals in four-wheel drive, you can just see, you just think, "Where's he going to clip? Oh, he's just, why is it just falling over there?" Because the edge of that apex is a bit harsh. We know they're there. Other people don't. And so, like on two-wheel drive, when I had a really good day, I just kept it clean. I did three near perfect clean runs. Someone took me out. Because it's one of these big events, tangents, you know, the ability in our heat was immense. The ability spread. I think BBK always tends to put the slower car first. So, like, there were some guys at the front who were probably going to end up in the first final. I was in the middle, and Kev Hodgkinson and Tony Parson, local superstars, were, like, at the back of my heat. So I just thinking, look, I'll just plod around and see what happens. And I plodded around, saw what happens, and got some decent scores early doors. And, you know, for the, I think, it was like back of the day, obviously, you know, three finals higher than any other event I've been to this year. But obviously it was wet, so that's not home advantage, such as me having a good day. And then just stood in line behind Will Collan. I went, "Will,
that's not bad going."
Well, I was sitting there going, "Will, you've had a terrible day." And he goes, "Well, I thought it was bad, but it's obviously worse if you're behind me." and also, I've got a new Zoom thing, and that is to be lapped in my final. You know, Eugene lapped me in my final at Hearts, and quite a few people lapped me in my final in two-wheel drive. But overqualified, really good, great thing. I did, shouldn't do these things. I was stood on the rostrum
and I could see our good friend Chris Bowden from the Grid Talk podcast, Marshall, ready to marshal. Yeah. So I literally just took a picture of him marshalling, sent it to Ruck, and told him to find better warriors.
Lovely.
You know, Chris is a great guy. And Chris is now going to be one of the only people in the UK who understand this issue. And don't feel sorry for people that if we know we're having a bad race, we know we've got to go and talk about it the next week. That does bring pressure.
It does, yeah.
Also, which you will also know, is that if we're at an event where there is some commentary, then we're the people who are going to get picked out, whether we're having a bad run or a good run. That's brilliant. But, you know, I've known that for like 4 or 5 years, and Chris is just getting into it. Chris is a great guy, helped loads of people on the day, helped a load of my mates who are unassociated, you know, made sure they were all up to date. Brilliant. But let's put that to one side now. I battered them both days. In four-wheel drive, he had I destroyed him as well. It was, you know, pretty easy. You know, I'm not being funny. He's literally left the country after the Zoom event to get away from the abuse that he's been given.
He's on holiday, is he?
Well, I don't know where he is, mate, but Alex Hayward had to do the Grid Talk podcast last night. He wasn't on.
Okay.
Well, I'm not being funny. I don't think he can show his face when he's been beaten by me in two classes of a weekend.
Did you beat him at Telford?
No chance.
Wow.
He was like,
well, then I say that's all fair and square then. I know you beat him at a neutral track, I suppose, which gives you an advantage, but
mm-hmm. Oh no, Chris Bowden would be better than
I would go.
I think what we have this situation is that we can, and this is the great thing about all of the podcasts, and we could do with more and all of these things, is that it's a great thing to bring up, is that Aiden will bring that up when he's beaten Chris Bowden or Russ Lee, but obviously they can't bring it up every time they beat me because that would just take too long. But it was a great weekend. There was no issues whatsoever. Everybody who turned up had a great time, as far as I'm aware. The food turned up, the toilets turned up, everything was fine. The superstars turning up, Craggy winning on two-wheel drive. You know, forget Schumacher family, that just made the Northwest super happy.
Yeah.
You know, I had some messages with him before in the week and just said, hey, the kids won't handle the pressure, you'll be fine. So
yeah, and he enjoyed it so much he's come down here on holiday.
Yeah, he's gone up to St Ives.
Yeah,
We had two great tracks. They've got, you know, I take full responsibility because they were great, but they were done completely by Kevin Hodgkinson. He worked they himself. Look
good. Yeah.
Just little bits. Yeah. Kev turned around the week before and says, can we get a new gutter? I'm like, ooh, we can try. Yeah, we got some new gutter. Steve Connolly helped us out. All the members turned up, you know. We had Richie helping Moz. There was one final in four-wheel drive, like the second final, because there was only four in the bottom final that we needed some marshals. And again, there was no need to call people out because at Southport, we hadn't done anything all weekend. So we all just came out and just marshaled our mates' final. So that was brilliant. We were so lucky. Everyone said so many nice things. I get those messages. I try and remember to pass them on to other people at Southport, but I don't because I keep them to myself because, you know, kind of a big deal.
Nice.
So, brilliant. I'm not actually racing this weekend. I think a lot of the people who went to Southport soon aren't.
No.
But there is racing on at Southport, and there is racing on at Bury if you want to go. My next event is I will be at the Robin Hood GP next weekend. And I'll be probably spending this weekend just sitting at home watching the Raw 10th Nats indoors from, I think it's the track, isn't it? Track? Mimi's? I get confused by people's names.
Maryland.
Maryland. I like the chicken.
That's it. Or the cookies. Yeah. No, isn't it cookies as well?
Yeah, cookies, yeah.
Trust a fat man to know that, see?
Yeah, the problem biscuits, not cookies.
Talking really quick off the subject, the best joke of the week. Joey Cockhill trying to say he can make a pie last 2 minutes.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh.
I've never seen a bit of food last 2 minutes in his hands.
No. He would definitely TQ the pie eating.
He would. Anyway, that's my bit of Joey abuse for the night.
I'm going to...
Told off for.
That's fine. As we near the end of this nonsense, and we thank Michael for his time, and we look forward to maybe speaking to someone else new and different next weekend.
Yeah.
The thing that summed it up for me is that Robin Schumer very kindly came over at the end and said, I think your tent had the most fun. And my response, I did apologise for swearing and just say, I'm not being funny, mate. I don't sit by dickheads. And we did. We had the most fun. And I think that was the thing that helped. So thanks to everybody involved in organising those events. Thanks for everybody in Southport and the Northwest who helped us put on that event. Everything went perfectly. At the very end, I went round to pick up some litter.
Yeah.
After 5 minutes, I just put the bin bag away again because there was no litter.
There was no litter, no. There was none at Mendip. People have been really good.
Yeah, and, you know, normally the national guys are the litteriest. But there was nothing to pick up at all. It had all been picked up. It had all been put in the skip that had been fine. So, amazing. You know, I am sad to see that the probably next year, you know, when we get our regionals and nationals back, that there won't be any SEAM events going forward. I suppose that'll be a good thing because that means we'll be back to normal. But
well, if we are back to normal,
I just who assume knows we can. Yet. Yeah, I don't know.
I think we can, but we just don't know yet. I don't think we can quite jump that yet.
No, I think. But I know as someone who helps out at their local club, but is like a can't use me bunny ears national type track.
Yeah,
that you know. Sometime in September, October, we'll be expecting an email from the BRCA asking whether we want to hold a national next year. You know, as soon as that happens, that will make us, all us races feel confident and things along those lines. Even if the email says we're going with the same tracks.
I think it's only fair you go with the same tracks because they haven't actually hosted them yet.
Well, yeah, okay, but I'm not listening. We can talk about that, but don't want to. But we've been incredibly busy over the last 2 years. Some tracks might not want to do it.
Yeah. No, I know. But you got to offer it to them first, haven't you?
Yes, definitely. I agree. Yeah, totally agree. And I think we'll be looking for a great season next year. So, that's the point. And we're wishing winter away. Good luck, Brock, this weekend at the Raw Nats. Good luck, Martin. I can't think of any Schumacher. The Lions is
Wellington, Scott and Trev.
Oh, Scott. Well.
Don't forget Scott and Uncle Trev.
Well, mainly Trev, to be honest.
Yeah, to be fair, Scott just used me as an air brake at Mendip, so we don't need to talk about him.
Yeah, exactly. So mainly Trev, Wellington just having a great day. Having a great day at the Dash for Cash. Let's continue to do that. Let's please, if you did enjoy this podcast, please check out the Grid Talk podcast. If you enjoy this and the Grid Talk podcast, maybe start your own podcast. We've got plenty of space for more podcasts. Thank you very much for Oliver for sending me a message today saying that he's just recently got back into RC. He's recently just found about RC podcast and wow. And he's gone back. He listens to the new one and then goes all the way back to catch up. And this week he was listening to Keenan White trying to do a podcast episode from someone's birthday party on a beach.
Nice.
So that was a great episode. So, Martin, I've spoken enough today. So would you like to thank your sponsors?
Yeah, of course. I'd like to thank all the guys at Schumacher for all their great cars and help. John at RC Octane for all his help. Brian Prenny at Screws for RC. He's given surprises this weekend for Dash Cash, as if you have as well, Aiden, I hear.
Allegedly.
And Richard at RDT for stickers and chassis skins and all sorts of things that Richard does, which are just awesome.
Yeah, all my stickers come from RDT. So we're all looking forward to that. Everyone, please like and share the podcast. Please like and share all the podcasts. Please check out the coverage from Live RC, from, I don't know what else it's coming from the Raw event. It's probably on YouTube. Check out J Concept's coverage. Hannah Hardison will be doing videos, I'm sure, from the Raw Nat Threat Tour. Get all that. Share and like and comment and have a good time on those. And sort all those bits out. Is that okay, mate?
That sounds good to me, mate.
Okay, well, thanks for your time.
And I'll
see you next week. Bye now.
Cheers, mate. Bye, everyone.